Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Broadway Podcast Network presents Giants in the Sky, How Sondheim and Lapine Went Into the Woods, with me, Ben Rimmelauer. Today's guest, Maureen Davis, the original Sleeping Beauty and Stunt Witch.
Once upon a time.
Maureen Davis created the role of Sleeping Beauty in Into the Woods on Broadway, playing that part as well as serving as the stunt witch and understudy to Rapunzel and Little Red Riding Hood for the entire original run. In addition to the American Playhouse broadcast of Into the Woods, she also appeared on television in Neil Gaiman's Amazon Prime series Good Omens. She wrote the book, music, and lyrics for the original rock musical radio play, A Falling Star at Buzzard's Roost. Check out stageforanewage.com. Thank you so much for chatting with me. I'd love to ask you, I guess, the question that I've sort of started with for everybody, which is, do you remember when you first became aware that there was this fairy tale musical by Sondheim and Lapine, Into the Woods? And also, if you just could give me a little background where you were in your life and your career, and, you know, were you a Sondheim fan? Had you auditioned for Sunday in the Park with George? Had you done any of the shows in college? You know, just what was your background on it?
So many questions. Well, I think when you're in college, you get exposed to company, and you just, you know, you if you're a theater major, you're gonna do and listen to Sondheim, you know. When I was, I think I was 15, there was this big talent search for Annie the movie. In the US. It was like US wide. And I submitted for it from Toledo, Ohio. And I was actually gonna go to the call, and then I got really sick and I went in the hospital, and my mother had to cancel the audition, and they sent me a t-shirt and they said, "We're so sorry to miss you and we wish you the best of health." So I was like, "Broadway, talk to me." I moved to New York with $500 in my pocket.
Wow.
I sold my entire apartment, all my childhood furniture. I sold everything to my friend Robin. And I quit my band, but they were dealing drugs out of the dressing room anyway. Fun. I didn't go to jail. And I was dating law students, so I was good. And my mom worked at the courthouse, but still, I didn't go to jail because I didn't do drugs. Wow. So I moved to New York to live with my great aunt Sandy, was off Broadway, was working in the fashion district for the buyers for, was it Macy's? I can't remember the company, but they were buyers for big department stores, and I would get like fashion things. I would work in the fashion district from 9 to 5. I would go to rehearsals for off Broadway, and then I worked in a geisha house. We called it the geisha house. It was a Japanese piano bar, and the Japanese waitresses were actually hostesses.
Wow.
And they would go home with people from Wall Street, and we would sing karaoke. And I guess Cindy Lauper did it too. Like, there were a bunch of us that did it, and you got paid $15 an hour. And Susie Chan, it was this secret speakeasy, and Susie Chan had evening gowns and shoes for you. So basically, when I got my start in New York, I was getting 4 or 5 hours sleep. I was in a theater, I was off Broadway, I was working, and then I was working again, but I was working singing. So I got my big break. I was singing on Green Street at the Duplex, and I was singing Somewhere That's Green, and I was yelled at by Sharon McDite, and she said, "That is my song. No one sings that song. Find another song." And she's Sharon McKnight. And I went, okay. You know, so my friend Bill, we called him Blind Billy Graves, or Mittens, because he was like, "Okay, this is what you're gonna do. You're gonna do Guilty," because I used to love singing Guilty by Randy Newman. He said, "You're gonna do Think of Me into Guilty. So you're gonna sing your legit stuff, and then I'm going to transition you right into belting. And I was like, it's like, we're going to show Sharon McKnight. So there was a guy in the audience, Michael, who was the music director for Little Shop of Horrors in Boston with Cara Lee Carmello. Ah. And they needed an understudy for Cara Lee. And he said, you're fantastic. Here's my card. And I'm like, yeah, right, whatever. And then I looked him up and I was like, oh shit, he really is the music director. And I really could be Cara Lee's understudy. Okay, go team. Understudy, got the part. Victor Valentine directed it. My friend Kevin understudied Seymour too. Went there, got trained by Cara Lee Carmello.
Wow.
To play all three urchins and the understudy. And I was the left branch of the plant. So that was my big break, getting trained by Cara Lee Carmella. She was the dance captain for all of the female roles.
That's hilarious.
And she wasn't quite famous yet, but she was going to be. She was on her way. She did Little Shop in Boston. And then I think she did A My Name is Alice or City of Angels. She did something else that was a Boston cast. And then all of a sudden she became this Broadway star.
And that Little Shop was a big hit in Boston. Didn't it run for a really long time?
It was huge. We were famous. So when I say Little Shop in Boston, that's almost like saying Little Shop in New York.
Yeah.
And Scott Bakula was in the show across the street. And Cara Lee, I think Cara Lee and Scott got to work together. But he wasn't even a TV star yet. He was just doing the same thing we were. But right. we knew that Cara Lee and Scott was. Anyway, so yeah, Cara Lee is the shit. Cara Lee gave me my start.
Amazing. And then,
so what we would do is on Mondays, on dark days, we would take the train to New York and we just go for auditions to see what our next part was going to be, because we didn't know how long the show was going to run, or maybe there was a better part or something. So I crashed the audition for Into the Woods. I didn't even know what it was. And I was like, oh, come on, man. I'm only in here for one day. I'll show you my boobs. And, you know, of course, I had nothing. I was an A cup then. I'm a B cup now. There's a big choice between A and B, I'm just going to say. So anyway, I was funny and silly, and the person let me in. And I ended up, it was the longest audition of my life. It was like, they had me sing 6 songs.
Wow.
They were like, okay, now what would Cinderella sing? I was like, I don't know. This is okay, you're Red Riding Hood. And they just were looking through my book to see what songs I had.
Yeah.
Like, what would somebody in the woods sing? And I went, I whistle a happy tune. I have Whistle a Happy Tune in my book. So I sang that and they said, now do it as Cinderella and fall. Now do it as Little Red Riding Hood skipping around and the wolf is chasing her. Now do it as Rapunzel, terrified. And I got out of the audition. And somebody behind me went, what? Did you get the part at least? It was such a long audition. And like, they were interested. So then, you know, you go back to Boston, you don't hear anything. And then the show closed.
And Little Shop closed.
Little Shop closed. And I moved back to New York. And I am like working temp. And I'm just starving. I'm living wherever I'm living. I had so many sublets in New York, it wasn't even funny. I'm pouring some tea. And so I get that we had beepers. We had pagers.
Right.
We didn't have
There was no cell phone. Yeah.
Yeah. But I was still young, damn it. So I get back to New York and I get this pager and I call my agent, Louis from the Bethel agency. And I called Louis and he goes, why is Into the Woods calling to see you? Wow. I didn't get you that audition. And I said, oh, I crashed something at the Equity Building. What's going on? And he said, you have a callback, direct to callback to be Bernadette Peters' stunt witch and to understudy Rapunzel, Red Riding Hood, and Cinderella.
Wow.
And it's this day and it's on 8th Street. And just please go get it, because this is, come on. So, all right, so here's the street.
On 8th Street down in the village.
Yeah, it was at it's the street where, it's the studio where everybody rehearses. Once you're in a Broadway show, there's this rehearsal hall down on 8th Street.
Wow.
So 8th Street, 8th Avenue? It's 8th Street, yeah. So I had no money. And I went and I was wearing my favorite vintage dress because I've always been a vintage girl. I was wearing this vintage dress and these canary yellow can-can boots.
Wow.
Like ankle boots, but they're, I mean, I've always been, I'm a fan of can-can boots. I freaking love them. Because you dance in them and they support your ankles and then support your shoes. I always choose can-can boots. So I run to the temp agency and I go, does anybody have $5? I have to go to this Broadway audition. And so the manager of the temp agency comes out and she goes, I think she gave me 10. I don't know if she gave me 5 or 10. She goes, here's the money, get the part, get me front row seats. Sweetest lady in the world. So I run and I catch the train and I'm waiting for the train. You know, I'm in the turnstile and an announcement comes over that the train is not coming. And I'm like, oh shit. And I'm like, okay. And I'm not thinking, I'm just like panicking. I've got to get there. And I actually jumped back over the turnstile instead of walking around in one of the stairs and caught a bus. And then the bus broke down and had a flat tire. And I'm still 10 blocks away, 10 New York blocks.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit, I'm really late. And so because I'm dramatic, or I was in my 20s, and I ran to the exhaust pipe so I would smell like gas, because, you know, buses stay on. And I grabbed, I put my hand underneath the tire to get some grease, and I put grease on me. Don't, why would I do that? If a bus breaks down, it's not a bus accident. So I'm just thinking drama. And I ran 10 city blocks to go audition for Joanna Merlin. And the room was full of girls with wigs or long, curly, curly, curly hair and big, bright red Cupid doll lips to look like Bernadette. And I'm a greasy mess. I smell like gas. My hair's in a ponytail. I've got canary boots on and a white retro dress. I'm a total freak. And she goes, what? And I said, I'm Maureen Davis. The train broke down. The bus broke down. I just ran 10 city blocks. I fell. You have to see me. She's like, I can't. We're already into the last 5 people. And I said, no, you don't understand. I had to borrow money to get the subway, to get the train. And then everything broke. You have to see me, please. And she was like, okay, you can't make that up. I know you can't make that up. She goes, go in the bathroom. You got 5 minutes. Clean up. Compose yourself. Get yourself. I'm going to get you in. So she got me in and, you know, I freshened up and I did it. And they did the same thing to me. They improv danced me and they said, okay, now you're Sleeping Beauty. Now you're Red Riding Hood. Now you're whatever. And then they said, okay, just stand there. And the makeup artist came up to my face and he held up a picture of Bernadette Peters and he measured my eyes and he measured my chin. And then they said, thank you. And I thanked Joanna and I'm like in tears going, thank you. And I'm the only one who hasn't tried to look like Bernadette Peters.
Yeah.
I'm just me. And halfway walking home, because I have no money left.
Yeah.
I might have been saving the change so that I could get a dollar slice of pizza or some wonton soup.
Right.
You know, you have to eat and I had no money. So I had no food money or anything. And the pager goes off and it's Louie. And I'm like, no way. Wow. And so I call him on a payphone and he goes, you got the part.
Wow.
And then I called my mom in Ohio and I said, and I'm crying and I'm like, Mom, I'm going to be on Broadway. And you know how much I idolize Bernadette Peters. I'm going to be her stunt witch. And my mom is like, well, of course you're going to be on Broadway. You worked for it. You earned it. You were always going to be on Broadway. It was just a matter of when.
Mm.
And so that's how I got into the woods.
So how much time did you then have before rehearsal started?
Well, we had like maybe, I don't know if it was a few weeks or a month. We had a few weeks because there were costume fittings. Like they went directly into costume fittings even before rehearsals. And what's interesting is for the witch, we had a special costume that had like bags and belly rolls and stuff. They created as if somebody really blobby was wearing a toga with lots of ropey belts around it. They created these bumpy, lumpy things, and they used bird seed. And wow. We had a neck piece that would hold it up because it was kind of heavy. And it created the walk for the witch.
Mm.
So Bernadette and I had identical costumes. And they had to measure me and make sure I was the same size. And they sprayed her perfume, Calyx, that you could only get at Macy's or Bloomingdale's. They sprayed her perfume, Calyx, over both costumes. So I would get the feel for being Bernadette. They wanted me to smell like Bernadette and be Bernadette and just absorb the Bernadette-ness. And we had all this birdseed, and we had to, and they took a film of us walking in these costumes and getting used to the weight of them. Eventually, Bernadette complained, or maybe she was having back problems or something, and they took the bird seed out and they put cotton in. And they're like, okay, you guys know we developed the walk and everything. It was great to be artsy fartsy, but okay, we get it.
Like after the show opened or during rehearsals that they made that
change? No, that was after the show opened.
Wow.
We may have even had bird seed all the way through Bernadette, but then when Nancy Dussault and Betsy Joslin and Ellen Foley came in, they changed the costumes a little
bit. Yeah. So were you not the witch, the stunt witch for Felicia Rashad?
I was not, because I could not appear in blackface.
Right, of course. So for people that don't understand exactly what the stunt witch does, maybe I can try to say, correct me if my understanding is right. So in the transformation scene, before the actual moment of transformation, when there's some activity going on elsewhere on the stage, the woman playing the witch sneaks behind a tree so she can exit. And then the stunt witch comes back on in a costume that is like with the big wig and the hood and the cape and everything, where like not a lot of your face is showing. And then she's pre-recorded her lines during that scene for you to sort of lip sync or kind of like fake with your body.
Yes and no. I had the exact same makeup as Bernadette.
Wow.
We had boils and warts and nose. I had to look like the witch.
Yeah.
So you couldn't just do it with a hood. They had to see the facial expressions.
Yeah.
And so we wore identical makeup. And I even have a book I saved the makeup with the boils.
Wow.
And she would tell me, I'm wearing the boil on the left side because it was irritating my face on the right side.
Right.
I would have to come see her every night to make sure our makeup matched. Our makeup was designed and it was sketched out.
Mm-hmm.
And we would follow that sketch. We didn't have a makeup person doing it. We had to do our own age makeup.
Yeah.
And who's the big makeup guy in New York? The guy that like makes custom makeup. Was it Ben Nye? He made this color called BP whatever, which is Bernadette Peters.
Mm.
So it was like Bernadette Peters 26.
Yeah.
And that was the makeup that I had to wear, and it matched me. Bernadette and I have the same skin color.
Mm-hmm.
So it matched us. So we had to wear that color, and they gave us the eye pencils and the shadows to create the makeup. So yes. Her voice was recorded, but I had to lip sync, of course,
yeah.
And I had to be acting. So what would happen is she would do this walk while they were feeding the animal. Here
yeah.
is the hair, and here is the cape, and here is the, you know, where the music goes, doom, doom, do, 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 do,
yeah.
And the cow swallows. We would do this walk where it's just like walk, 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 and look. Walk, 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 and look. So Bernadette would do the walk and look. And then I came up on a trap door. The trap door had no railings, and we had to go 10 feet up.
Mm.
This is the coolest part. There were stage hands that were like 6'5" and 7 feet tall. They were very, very tall.
Wow.
And they would hold their hands up to make sure we didn't fall.
Wow.
Also, we had the big cape on, and you had to make sure that the cape didn't get caught in the trap door.
Yeah.
So they would tuck us in. So you would come up on this kind of treacherous trap door.
Oh my God.
That was built by, so the magic trick was choreographed by Charles Reynolds. And Charles Reynolds choreographed the magic show on Broadway.
Mm.
So he was the premier magician and magic choreographer. He choreographed the show. So we had all those moving trees, all those moving trees. They don't do this anymore. They like figured out another way, but we were the originals, man. So they choreographed all these trees. So the trees are moving mysteriously and you're watching the action of the actors over here. And then Bernadette walks behind a tree where the trap door is, bumps into me, and I continue her walk and I drink the potion and I say, wrong ingredients, forget about a child. And Joanna and Chip chase me around the stage while Bernadette is getting her glamour make, her getting her glamour makeup put on. She's ripping off warts and she's powdering and she's becoming beautiful.
Oh, that, you know what, I'm just realizing what I misunderstood. It's not that you are covered up between the hair and the hood. It's that she, at the beginning of that scene, is wearing like a dumbed down version of her original. She's already started undoing it so that she has less to do.
She may have, but not necessarily, because she had the wart and then she still had to have the wart and the nose and the eyebrows.
Yeah, right. You know, people are always asking me if I'm on Ozempic, and let me tell you, I do not mind them asking me that, but I'm not on Ozempic. They especially ask me that when they see me eating dessert or desserts or all the crap I eat when I'm out. But my secret is that when I'm home, when I'm by myself, I'm eating Factor. Factor sends me restaurant quality meals that are ready to heat and eat whenever I am. No prepping, no cooking, no cleanup except for like my fork. And now you can enjoy Factor Meals too. Go to factormeals.com/giantsinthesky50 and use code giantsinthesky50 to get 50% off. That's code giantsinthesky50 at factormeals.com/giantsinthesky50 to get 50% off.
The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at OutsidersMusical.com.
For the most part, it was the makeup consisted of the wart, the nose, and the eyebrows, and then big bags under the eyes.
Yeah.
And there's really no way of getting around that.
Yeah.
She had to have her face up in the light. And the right. only way of getting around that is by just maybe loosening the warts and stuff, maybe having the glamour makeup underneath, maybe lightening up the eyes a little.
Yeah.
And she had a little bit of time to do that. But you really couldn't change the makeup. That was the beauty of the magic trick. And she had three dressers dressing. You know, you threw it off. The costume that we wore was really like one piece. Mm-hmm. And it had a neck, it clasped around the neck and it was Velcroed in the back. And so she just had to throw it down.
Yeah.
And she was beautiful Bernadette. And they put a gown on her and they're whipping her nose and her wart off. And I don't know if she did her own hair or if she wore a wig for the when she became the beautiful witch.
Yeah, it looked like her own hair to me.
Well, it might have been a wig because remember, when we're wearing wigs, we have pin curls.
Yeah.
So they wouldn't have had time. She had to have been wearing a wig.
Yeah.
That looked like her own hair. I swallowed the wrong way. So yeah, so I continue, I swallowed the potion, and then I pulled this from a lady in a tower, and she goes, you what? Don't you understand? I cannot have touched the ingredients. And that's when I start my walk, and I start looking for Bernadette. Is she up there? Is she up there? Is she up yet? And whenever she gets up there, I'm ready to just go, forget about a child again. This is not going to happen, you know? And it's the transformation where Bernadette comes back out happens where the narrator says, the silky hair of the corn, give it to the cow. So as soon as he goes, the silky hair of the corn, that's when the turmoil starts and the trees are moving and you're feeding the cow and everybody's acting really bigly.
Yeah.
And I went behind the tree and I just stand there and Bernadette comes out and I don't even think they started the hydraulics for me until because we don't want that sound or anything.
Yeah.
I'm just sitting there very, very still. And she goes, ta-da.
Yeah.
You know?
So was it a different moment of transition from night to night, depending on how fast she got up the hydraulics? Like, were you kind of like, yep. That's so interesting. I wouldn't have realized that.
Well, here's the thing. Paul Gemignani had to just go, ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da. He had to keep that going. And that's the beauty of having a live orchestra. He could keep that going as long as we needed.
Yeah.
And that's all he did. He just vamped. He vamped until that transformation happened. And you just kind of, and as soon as you see the next cape walk out, because I never walked around the tree. I did not walk around the tree until I saw her.
Yeah.
And so it was pretty fascinating. And one night, the recording broke down and it was a night that I was also Red Riding Hood.
Oh, jeez.
So I was doing the Stunt Witch and Red Riding Hood because Jean Louisa Kelly was already on for the Vacationing Rapunzel for Pamela. So Jean Louisa was the other Red Riding Hood cover. So I had to cover the Stunt Witch and Red Riding Hood and the recording broke down. And I was able to do an impression of Bernadette Peters. I practiced doing an impression of Bernadette Peters. And they had me mic'd. They always had me mic'd as the Stunt Witch.
Yeah.
And I had to say the lines and then do the transformation and then run off stage and become Red Riding Hood. Warts, like basically I had a minute while Bernadette was doing her transformation to become Red Riding Hood because I think there was a second Midnight Gone or something
going on.
And then I could come back out with the sword with Jack and say, stay away from my granny made me this cape out of a wolf that we killed. And like the hair and makeup people were like, brava diva, because I just surrendered to them. I think when you have things like that, you have to trust your stage managers and your hair and makeup people.
Yeah.
Get you on stage. So that was like crazy. And somebody like really dumb came up. I'm sorry. I thought it was dumb. Said, how did you know the lines to do for Bernadette? And I went, cause I lip sync them anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
cause you
sure.
have to know the lines to lip sync them.
Right. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. That's crazy that happened. I want to get more into stuff like that and to your understudying. But just going back a little bit to the beginning. So, were you there for the very first rehearsal of the show, or was that like later in the process when they cast you?
No, I was there for the first rehearsal because I had to be Sleeping Beauty in the finale.
Right. So they knew. So they knew from the very beginning that the way this was going to be accomplished was with a stunt witch. But absolutely. Were the particulars of that stuff that was then worked out during rehearsal, or was that all already figured out from the first day?
It was already figured out from the first day. I don't know what they did at the Old Globe.
Yeah.
And they had it. They may have had it choreographed at the Old Globe. So that's not information I'm privy to.
Yeah.
All I know is that I met Charles Reynolds and he was a famous magician.
Yeah.
And said he did Doug. What's that? What was that guy's name? Doug.
Doug Henning.
Doug Henning. He did Doug Henning's magic show. And I think he may have worked on a production of Pippin because there are a lot of magic tricks.
Right,
so
sure.
He was the guy.
Yeah.
And they made me sign a contract. They made me sign a contract that I would not reveal my identity or what I did in the show.
Wow. So was that a secret for a long time?
It was a secret for the whole run of the show.
Wow.
And I also got hazard pay. I got special insurance pay because of the trap doors without the buildings. Because of the quick changes and everything.
Yeah. As well you should. And so then you were Sleeping Beauty in the final sequence. Was that I guess you had a really different life than Jean Louisa Kelly because you had a lot to deal with each night before that, whereas she would have just been able to relax for 2 hours.
She did Snow White. She did Snow White. But you know, Jean's a great actress, and she was always studying her lines for Red Riding Hood and Rapunzel. You know, she was very young; she was just getting her start out. You know, and it was way before she did Mr. Holland's Opus and Fantastic TV show. In fact, when the movie came out, Jean and I had a reunion, and we went to see the movie with Meryl Streep
together.
We tried to stay in touch with you.
Yes. Yeah. I spoke to her and she said the same thing about you. Essentially.
Oh, she's so sweet.
So sweet. So you covered Little Red Riding Hood. Did you cover any other roles?
Rapunzel and Cinderella.
And Rapunzel and Cinderella. Did you go on for all of them?
I did not go on as Cinderella, but I did go on as Rapunzel.
You got to use that soprano and that belt that you had. Yeah,
I got to go on Rapunzel for a 2-week vacation for Rapunzel and 2-week vacation for Red Riding Hood. In fact, I mean, Danielle and I are pals, and Danielle like hurt her foot or broke her ankle or something, and I had to go on for her while Jean was on. That was when Jean was on as Rapunzel. Mm-hmm. I had to go on as Red Riding Hood because Danielle hurt her foot. And Danielle has since corrected me. I said something about her breaking her ankle and she was like, I didn't break my ankle. I could probably look it up and see what Danielle told me to correct it to. Let's just say she got hurt.
Yeah.
And I had to go on. Whatever.
Whenever you did those roles, you still had to do the stunt witch as well?
I don't think I had time to do the stunt witch and Rapunzel. I could do the stunt witch and Red Riding Hood. Eventually, Marianne Kane, who was a stage manager, was trained to do the witch double. She was trained to do it.
Because what happens if you're sick?
Yeah, I wasn't allowed to be sick. I got bronchitis. I got bronchitis horribly once we opened. It was like 2 months in. And James Lapine came to me personally and said, you can't be sick. We need you. He made a false promise. He said, listen, when we recast Rapunzel, I will put you at the top of the list because I know that Pamela's, you know, may not be here for the whole run of the show. Like Pamela had something else to do. And he said, listen, I will absolutely consider you if you please, please don't take any sick days. You can't. You're the best at this job. We've trained you. It's a magic trick. You can't just have anyone do it.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, James Lapine is begging me. Cool. And then the Rapunzel replacements came up. Do you remember who got?
Maren Maisie. Yeah.
Maren Maisie. And she was just starting her career. And it was Maren. And I was like, oh, I can't hate her. She's too nice. I can't hate her. And then she became Maren Maisie, and I quit Broadway altogether for rock and roll. So look at how great that was. Look at how great that turned out.
Yeah. You know? Wait, so did you stayed with the show for the whole run?
Absolutely.
And can you tell me anything? It seems to me like there was a little bit of chaos when they filmed it, and they had so many of those original cast members come back just for, I think, am I understanding correctly that some of them came back for the whole week. Some of them came back for only part of the week.
They filmed it while we were with the original cast. We were still the original cast when they filmed it. I don't
remember. That's not true. It definitely was in 1989 after many of them had left. And Bernadette.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember that. I don't remember that because I was just doing my job.
Well, I'm glad to hear it wasn't chaotic for you. That's good.
It wasn't because I was still doing my witch double in Sleeping Beauty. I got the credits rolled over my face, so that's cool.
Yeah.
And Bernadette and I had to really rehearse that witch double thing because they wanted to have Bernadette close-ups. So when you look at the transformation that we did in Bravo, then you see sometimes it's me, sometimes it's Bernadette, but the makeup was so good you really can't tell.
Oh, that's so interesting.
They edited in things, but yeah, I'll have to ask Kay about that. You just interviewed Kay. I don't remember people flying in. I don't remember any of that. It was, as far as I remember, it was really chill. We came, it was catered, we ate, we laughed, we acted, and we worked. And there was a lot of downtime because when you're filming, they're always setting up shots.
Right.
So I don't remember anything chaotic about it, but I could be wrong. Did Kay say it was chaotic?
No, chaotic was my word. But Kay is one of the people that would have thought it was the most chaotic because she had already, she had taken over the baker's wife. And so for the filmed performances, she was her original role of Florinda and Joanna Gleason was the baker's wife. And as I understand it, Joanna came back, Bernadette came back, Danielle came back. I forget who the other ones were that had already left that came back, Pam. But they didn't all come back the exact same. I mean, obviously the film performances were the same cast, but some of them were there several more than the ones that were filmed. But some were just the ones that were filmed. So it was like...
It was one day of filming. It was one day of filming.
Was it only one performance that was filmed?
It was not... We did a performance that was filmed, but then there were a bunch of close-ups and stuff.
Right.
Yeah. It was one day of filming. I think it was on a dark day. I remember that we were just in the theater and we were just going about our business. Because I remember being able to walk out into the audience and watch it.
During the close-ups and pickup shots and everything.
During the close-ups and stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't remember any of this, honestly. I really don't. I don't remember any of this. Yes, I don't remember, I don't remember when Danielle left.
Yeah.
Danielle wasn't there the whole run of the show.
Mm-mm.
Heather took over for a little bit. Oh, because Cindy was an understudy. I mean... No, Danielle was there the whole time because Cindy was there. Cindy and I shared a dressing room, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty. Heather and I shared a dressing room, Snow White, Sleeping Beauty. Oh, Luann Ponce.
Yeah.
Luann Ponce took over for Danielle.
Yeah.
But I don't remember how long she was there. I know Danielle was there a long time.
Yeah.
Now things are coming back to me, but I wasn't involved in any drama or chaos. I watched it because I love watching films and stuff. And as far as I remember, there wasn't anything icky.
No, I certainly wasn't saying there was anything icky. No, I just was curious if, you know, the sort of traffic patterns and, you know, just the sort of stress of that week. I've never heard anything icky.
There was no stress. It was all very well produced. It was all very well produced. And we knew... I'm sure if they're filming for Bravo, I'm sure that people would understand Bernadette and Joanna, who won the Tony. Of course, you're going to want that. I mean, I love Kay to death, and that probably broke Kay's heart. But Kay would go on to be in City of Angels. Kay McClellan is like fucking fantastic, you know?
Yeah, no, I wasn't suggesting anybody had hurt feelings about the roles or anything. I just was literally talking about everyone doing their jobs with different people coming in for 3 days, some people for 5 days, some people just for the filming, et cetera.
That's the beauty of being a good actor though.
Yeah.
When you're a good actor, you're acting with the character and you're acting and reacting with that person and you're doing your job and you're reacting to what is given to you. You don't just do everything the same way because what if that actor doesn't give, what if Kay doesn't give me what Joanna gave me? I've got to react to Kay. And so you're going to get, whatever you get is going to be good and it's going to be honest because only good actors were in that show.
Yeah. Do you have any specific memories of just doing it with the different actors in the cast over the course of the run? You mentioned Nancy Dussault and Ellen Foley, Luann.
Betsy was silly. Oh my God, yeah. I love Betsy Johnson. She was so funny. She was so funny. She could just go cross-eyed at you at any moment. And you're like, don't make me laugh. I hate you. So Betsy was great. Kay was my best friend in the show. I loved Kay. Kay and I would have pizza parties. Kay and I would have boy talks. She would help me with my dating problems. Kay, when I saw that, I have to go back and listen to your interview with Kay because I I am such a big Kay fan.
Oh yeah, my God, I'm such me a too. Favorite. Me too.
She's awesome. And Lauren Mitchell, Lauren was like a model and everything. Terry Burrell, oh my God, statuesque, funny. Terry Burrell can play any part in any show, in any costume. She is like one of the most gifted people and most honest and sweet and real menschy people I've ever met. We had a birthday party for her. So all the on stage covers. So we weren't necessarily understudies because we had, who was Rapunzel's prince? He went on to do Beauty and the
Chuck
Beast.
Wagner.
Chuck was on our floor. So we had the fourth floor. So the fourth floor were the swings and the understudies. But for some reason, I think Chuck was on our floor. And when Terry had her birthday, I think it was Kay and I who did this. I think it might've been Kay and me. We got lingerie and we put it all the way up the stairs to the fourth floor. Like from the third to the fourth floor, we decorated it in dirty lingerie for Terry for her birthday.
Oh my God.
And we would also, people were always trying to get me to go up on the roof where the big boot was. I was like, no, I'm afraid of heights. I can't do that. And then that boot got, you know, became the thing. There was this kind of magical camaraderie and we all just like really supported each other. When somebody had to go on, we're like, okay, go get them, you know? And I remember the first time I met Stephen Sondheim, I tripped over him in the balcony. I was watching rehearsal and he was napping and I tripped over him and I went, oh, Mr. Sondheim, I'm your Sleeping Beauty. And he went, I'm sure you are. And I was just like, oh my God, this is crazy. And we got to go to his house for dinner. He made this dinner and he had this big puzzle room. I mean, he had a cast party at his house, you know. Dick Cavett was hilarious. Sometimes the hydraulics wouldn't work. We had a lot of magic tricks. We had the tower, we had the trap doors, and when things had to be shut down, Dick would come out and do Dick Cavett in front of the curtain. He'd go, any questions, any answers, anyone care for a mint? And he would tap dance between shows, between matinee and evening. He would have his meal and then he would go on stage and tap dance.
Wow.
It was crazy. We would eat at Kodama, which was a Japanese restaurant. I know.
Oh yeah, still there on 45th and 8th.
You know who was really sweet? The narrator, Tom Aldrich. Tom was like this cool uncle to me. I loved him so much. And we would go for tapioca or rice pudding. I think he might have been vegan and he would like tell me not to have dairy. And I'd go, And there were different people in the cast that you could kind of talk to. And Jeff Blumenkrantz, who's still acting and fantastic. Have you gotten to talk to Jeff?
Oh, yes.
Jeff is amazing. Jeff would listen to my demos. I was writing pop and rock demos. And Jeff was one of my coolest critics. He would listen to the music I wrote.
Oh, wow. Yeah, he's a good writer too.
He's such a good writer. I've sent him, I have some radio plays up. I had this band called Marine and the Mercury Five and a band called the Flutterbys. And they've always been, you know, being a lead singer in a band is kind of like being a character in a show too. And so I wrote the show and I workshopped it with Casey Clanton, who played Janis Joplin on Broadway.
Mm.
In A Night with Janis. She played Janis Joplin for 15 years.
Wow.
And we met out here in LA doing rock shows and she helped me produce it at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. And now it's up online, A Falling Star at Buzzard's Roost. And it also stars Dave Foley from Kids in the Hall.
Oh, how cool. Say the title of it again.
A Falling Star at Buzzard's Roost.
Oh, cool.
And it's kind of a roots rockabilly musical with time travel and just silly stories. And Gary Anthony Williams is in it. He plays Uncle Ruckus in Boondocks. He was also on Reno 911. And I actually, we'll talk, we could talk after the call, but I wanted to talk to you about podcastsonbroadway.com because I saw that you do that. So we have it as a radio show with full distribution on all of the podcast networks. You can hear it on Spotify or Apple or Amazon or whatever. And we're trying to get investors now to stage it for a PBS recording, and then it'll be on PBS, and then we'll syndicate it on PBS.
Oh, cool.
But it's amazing to me, you know, with lockdown and COVID, we started becoming, I guess you can use the word attuned, to listening to podcasts and radio theater.
Yeah.
And using our imaginations more.
Mm-hmm.
And I have rediscovered the beauty of radio theater. And there's like Radio Andy, there's, you know, there are things where people are doing scripts. What's good for some people like me who don't like memorizing lines is you don't have to memorize lines. But then you also can break the fourth wall because you're reading and you can get silly. And then there's the Foley guy in the corner who's doing the sound effects.
Yeah.
And it's just so cool. I love the art of radio theater, and I love bringing new scripts to life quickly. And you get to see what works and what doesn't work, because if it's a musical, if the lyrics and the music and the words work, then you go to stage it. If it doesn't, you haven't spent all that money yet.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it's a really beautiful art form. And there's also a website called Open Door Playhouse, and she specializes in radio plays. And I think in the era of the podcast and in the era of reimagination, we have a great opportunity to bring this lost art form back.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, good for you. That sounds really interesting. And this has all been so interesting. Thank you so much for chatting with me, Maureen. And
thank you for having me. Now I want to go call Kay and say, what was this chaos during Bravo? What did I miss?
It wasn't Bravo. It was PBS. It was American Playhouse, by the way.
Yeah, but it ended up on Bravo too.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, it was. At least that's what my checks said.
Yeah. Well, maybe it's been a long time. It's probably been sold at different times, you know.
Oh my God! Now it's on Netflix too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'm so happy that you're doing this. Thank you for supporting us on time.
And oh yeah, thank you.
For this show, did you get to talk to anybody who worked with Cleo Lane?
Yes. Yeah. I talked to a lot of people from the tour and to Cleo's daughter.
Oh my God. Cleo Lane's one of my idols. I mean, besides Bernadette, oh my God, Cleo Lane is the witch.
Yeah.
So good. Have you been any other like people that you really had fun talking to?
Everyone. It's just been incredible.
Oh, I'm so glad. Yeah. And, you know, and I think Kim and Bob were the big romance. I mean, they kept that a secret from us too.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah. Yeah. I spoke to them. Yeah.
I must say it was life changing. And, you know, even the stories stay with you, and the songs stay with you as things happen in your life. My mother dies and no one is alone. And it's just Into the Woods is that kind of musical that really can apply to your life.
Yeah.
And there really is something for everyone, whether happy or sad.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so when I found out you were doing this, I was just so excited to talk to you and so happy that you can, you know, honor Mr. Sondheim this way.
Yeah. Well, thank you for helping me honor him. And thank you for all your work being a part of it. Thank you for listening to Giants in the Sky, how Sondheim and Lapine went into the woods on the Broadway Podcast Network. Look out for episode 52 with Robert Sean Leonard, Jack in the Playwrights Horizons Workshop.
The Outsiders, S.E. Hinton's generation-defining novel, is now a powerful and moving Broadway hit that the New York Post is calling the best new musical of the season so far. Don't miss your chance to join Ponyboy and the Greasers and experience the classic story come to life in a whole new way. The New York Times calls it refreshing, gritty, and endlessly effective. So get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com, and of course, stay gold. They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com.